Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/android. And by Ford, featuring the EcoBoost engine with turbocharger and direct injection. Look for EcoBoost on the 2012 Explorer and Edge, 2013 Escape, and at ford.com/technology.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 48, recorded on Tuesday, February 21st, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
Hey, Ron, we miss you.
Yes, I'm stuck in San Francisco this morning, so I'm Skyping in.
Yeah, you know, right. we are recording at a different time. Pause there. I wanted to say Monday. It's Tuesday. We had, as we mentioned last week, the United States holiday, President's Day, yesterday, mm-hmm. and we all decided to take the time off.
Did we all celebrate our presidents yesterday in traditional fashion?
Oh, I have no idea what that is. You know what I did? I took 3 years worth of change and I took it to the CoinStar machine and I dumped it in. And
those yeah.
Yeah.
Giving back
to the president.
I like that. That's a good tradition. That's what I meant when I said a President's Day tradition. That's exactly what everybody knows that.
Yeah. Hey, this week we're going to be discussing Android 5.0. LG competitor to the Galaxy Note. The Arena is tablet optimized, and we have a whole bunch in between packing the show.
Always do.
Before we start, there is a little countdown on Android.com. Have you guys seen it? There we go. 5 days,
working away.
13 hours, as we're recording this on Tuesday morning. And then if you scroll, do you see that? Yeah, there, Chad. Now, if you just scroll all the way back, you'll see. You'll see how they added things.
Oh, that's cool.
So basically, Android on Android.com has their little countdown to Mobile World Congress, for those of you who are listening on audio. There's a little scroll bar at the bottom of the page, and it'll show you how they've progressed, sort of what they're packaging onto this site. There's boxes that open,
Is that going to be their booth? Is that their booth design?
I guess maybe that's what that'll look like. I'm not quite sure.
It'll represent reality.
Right.
That would be really cool if it does. Like, if that's actually, if you go to Mobile World Congress and there's going to be a large Android head swinging light, that'd be pretty cool.
Ooh, and then an Android flying in from the sky with a beam of light?
Oh, yeah. I think that's real. Yeah, those floating robots, totally real.
Right. And the floating one with the tablet? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All real. Oh, man, and then it looks cool. like a little arena area with the bullseye on the floor, and they've got two little robots there waiting to...
Surprise! They're rolling out the arena.
we'll be talking more about that next week. And we actually have some breaking news that is stuff that's been announced pre-show. But before we do anything else, let's get into our news.
So a whole bunch of rumors and speculation is starting around Android 5.0. Crazy. But we do know that the code name is Jelly Bean, the next letter in the after ice cream sandwich. So Android 5.0 is Jelly Bean, and some launch dates that are being discussed, like Q2 2012, which is really soon.
Yeah.
Well, that might be just sort of pairing up with Google I/O at the end of June.
But launch at Google I/O.
Launch versus like announce versus information provided. I feel like they just minted ice cream sandwich and Android 4.0. I can't believe that they're gonna then launch in May the next version.
I agree. I don't even have ICS yet.
Well, no one does. 1% does.
But some interesting notes. Digitimes, who reported on this, claims that Android 5.0 will launch in Q2 and focus on tablet-friendly features, Chrome system integrations, and pushing dual operating system designs, like running Android and Windows 8 on the same device.
Oh, man, I don't buy any of these for a second.
I don't either.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't the dual operating system, I don't buy either, because I don't get how that helps them. But the tablet-friendly features, Chrome system integrations, we've seen that already.
Well, that's don't you think Google kind of learned a lesson, though, by, you know, like they did the Honeycomb tablet-friendly focus because they had to, right? And then Ice Cream Sandwich is the unifier. It doesn't make sense for them to come out with a unifier and then focus on one side of it again. To me, I mean, maybe it's bundled in with other things, and maybe that's half of the story. But
yeah, no, I don't think by, I mean, and who knows? We don't have any, I don't have any details, and who knows? But I think that by continuing the optimization of tablets, because if they really see, you know, they've grown in phones and they really see the growth area to be tablets, so continuing to massage the tablet experience but still keeping it unified, I think makes sense.
Totally.
And then we've already seen the Chrome integrations with the beta version of Chrome coming out that allows you to sign in and share your bookmarks and things like that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that integration continue.
Well, I guess it really depends on what they mean by Chrome system integrations. Do they mean Chrome the browser, or do they mean Chrome the OS integrating with Android? And if it's Chrome the OS, then I don't know. That's actually one of the things that I'm like, okay, I guess I could kind of see that eventually, because they're really kind of still struggling to get the Chrome OS off the ground. But still, just I don't know if I buy it.
I don't buy it either. I agree with you.
There are some dissenting opinions, though, as well. So Android and me, they expect to see 4.1 or 5.0 announced at Google I.O. in June, like we said, with a release sometime later in the year in September or October. So they're skeptical, which I think is a bit more believable in that regard. But then UnwiredReview.com says that all this is bogus. And that Jelly Bean will be a webtop style docking features. We'll see webtop docking features become standard, and sensing the availability of larger resolution screens and optimizing the view accordingly, which is kind of similar to what we saw with the Transformer Prime.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting. Who knows? Tons of speculation, tons of rumor. We probably won't. I mean, I imagine details will leak as we get closer to Google I.O.
Yeah.
But who knows? We'll see.
And there's so much more. I feel like we need to learn about ICS first and tweak.
You can't stop progression. You can't stop innovation. It's got to keep moving forward.
I guess not.
No, it's true.
I'm falling far behind.
Well, you're not the only one.
I know.
Almost everybody is at this point.
I know. I'm not alone. It's nice to be with every one of you.
But I absolutely would not be surprised at I.O. to at least hear kind of an official mention about Jelly Bean. The way that, I mean, that's exactly what they did at last year's I.O. They, you know, announced all these other things, you know, around Honeycomb, if you remember, advances in Honeycomb. And then at the end of it, it was like, oh, and by the way, here's our next version. It's Ice Cream Sandwich. And they showed the logo. Probably going to see something similar at Google I.O. That actually makes sense that they would announce it there. And then, you know, September, October, November, somewhere around there, Jelly Bean comes around. And that kind of follows in their, hopefully their plan is to kind of scale back, not update as much, but make, you know, one major version update a year. So
yeah, I think that makes sense as well. And I think that probably a 4.1 is believable to kind of fix things and continue cleaning up and make more compatibility. But I can't see Jelly Bean actually hitting devices until later this year, if not next year.
Yeah. So agreed.
All right. There's a little slide to unlock patent that Apple has. And apparently Google is going to circumnavigate that and not get into any trouble by applying for other patents. Google patent published earlier this month would offer Google manufacturers new options to unlock future Android devices. Google last week saw a patent it filed for back in 2010 published that describes a manner in which users interact with a smartphone or PC to unlock the device and perform at least one command when you unlock. According to the patent filing, the commands can be anything from placing a phone call to opening applications. So we have this.
Chad. It's on Ice Cream Sandwich, right? It's here. There we go.
Go to the camera.
It's this lock screen that, depending on which direction you go, it launches a different app. And I think that, you know, what they're trying to do here is that Apple's patent with Slide to Unlock is specific in the sense that it's slide along a predetermined path. Whereas when you take a look at this lock screen, you know, it's there. Sure, there's a predetermined location of a lock over there, and there's a predetermined camera over on the other side. Really, you could take any path you want to get there, right? It doesn't matter how you get there. It's just from point A to point B. So, I don't know. It kind of seems like that's kind of where possibly where they're going with this. And, you know, and they also have a lot of other ways to unlock your Android
phone. The pattern unlock, which I believe they filed a patent for. There was a story we talked about way back in November about that. So,
And let's not forget the face unlock, our favorite feature.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
Everybody's favorite, most secure way of locking and securing your phone.
Do I have enough light? Am I okay?
Do I have lights behind me? Do I have lights in front of me?
Do I look the same? Am I not wearing a hat?
I have a beard today. Damn it.
Oh, it's not going to work.
Actually, I've heard that that actually does work.
Really?
In some
the beard?
Cases, so, yeah. So, I guess, you know, as with all these patent things, I guess it remains to be seen. Somebody in the chat room, the name has now disappeared, is like, that seems so generic. How can it be possible to patent that? Exactly.
Thank
but they're all waging the same war against each other. So, apparently, they feel like they had to fight fire with fire, right?
Yep.
So, it's silly. It absolutely is. All right. Speaking of, well, we haven't spoken of it, but I'm going to talk about two things that you couldn't do with Android until possibly now. So, first off, CyanogenMod 9 has announced that they might be using technology by OnScreen called Cornerstone. It's a multitasking engine that actually allows you with the tablet to do things that you're very used to doing in like a Windows or a Mac desktop environment, taking apps and kind of placing them in different parts of the screen. Part of it kind of reminded me of your app last week?
My Stick It.
Your Stick It, where you can take and you know take that video player in that case and put it into a portion of the screen.
In a window?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, here we go.
I don't know if people are going to really catch on to the terminology here. They call it a window. So anyways, you know, it's cool that OnScreen has this possibility, you know, this possible technology for tablets, and even cooler that CyanogenMod is considering building it in. They say we will probably include this into CM9. It needs some polish, but the concept is just great. And I totally agree, and I really look forward to seeing what they do with it. You know, more and more CyanogenMod just they're creating a really cool name brand around themselves about doing cool and interesting things. Beyond that, breaking this morning, Android Central reports that Ubuntu on Android is becoming real. They look to take on the Motorola webtop experience. Canonical, who are the folks that brought you the Ubuntu Linux distro, actually announced today that they are bringing full Ubuntu to Android. So your multi-core phone can actually power Ubuntu. And this allows for plugging in a hardware keyboard for the full experience. And on top of that, Android runs inside of it in particular ways, allowing you to do things like run Android apps, get notifications, everything you get via Android now within your Ubuntu distro. This entire experience, as I said, is similar to Moto's webtop experience in that once you dock the keyboard, Ubuntu automatically launches. And I guess more of this will be seen at Mobile World Congress here next week. But that's
so
pretty
cool.
Sick.
Yeah, that's really cool. And if you go back to the Android 5.0 announcement or speculation.
Where
right.
Dual operating system designs, i.e. running Android and Windows 8, why couldn't you run Android and Ubuntu?
Well, you know, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
No, what's so funny is that you immediately dismissed it because it was Android and Windows, and then here you are talking about Android and Ubuntu.
Well, I mean, yes. Well, yes, you're right. Okay, you're right.
But don't they pair better?
Well, yeah, absolutely, they pair better. Android and Ubuntu are on the same playing field. Windows is a completely different thing. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And it does make sense to me here. Someone's going to figure this out. But putting Windows 8 and Android on the same thing, I don't see it.
Don't let your Microsoft hate get in the way of reporting the news, Jason.
I know. I don't hate Microsoft. Although I did last night when I was trying to use Microsoft to root my Galaxy tab and it wasn't working.
Oh.
I hate Microsoft.
Wow.
For that.
All right, we got an email here from Will, the DirecTV technician. This is Will in Tampa. I'm on Verizon and will be upgrading my phone the first week of March. I disqualified the Razer Max because the CDMA version has a locked bootloader, which means no custom ROMs. This leaves the Resound and the Nexus. The Resound is $100 cheaper, has a faster processor, expandable, blah, blah, blah. but I also read the Sense overlay on the Resound feels sluggish compared to ICS on the Nexus, and the battery life isn't as good as the Nexus. very true. I know Eileen spent time with the Resound, so I would like to know if she thinks the Nexus is worth $100 more than the Resound. Yes. I currently have an OG Droid overclocked and running Cyanogen Mod 7. I probably can't wait for any of the phones announced from Mobile World Congress to come to Verizon. Looking at Verizon's track record with Samsung, the Galaxy S3 will probably never come. Yeah, we kind of think that too. And any great phone will be delayed till fall. Thank you for your time. Love the show. Will, I am not a fan of the HTC Resound, and I would not even consider that on Verizon at all. Definitely the
Leo
Max.
Would beg to differ with that, right?
Yeah, he hasn't tried the Razer. And the Razer and Razer Max, by far, so much better. The battery life on the Resound sucks. I had overheating issues, which apparently some people had. Unfortunately, my review unit did suck. I will say that. But there's the Razer Max that Jason has in his hand right now. I love the Razer so much that I can't imagine not loving the Max.
But he's instantly eliminated the Max.
He did instantly eliminate that. So I will say, you should go for the Nexus. You can get, extra batteries. You can buy the, more batteries if you have an issue with battery life. But the thing about the Nexus is, we all know, you will get the upgrades to the to the OS. So don't get the Resound. Get the Nexus. I know that I completely disagree with Leo, but I always have, and he knows that.
Right, and these phones are, there's never one true winner because they all appeal to everyone for completely different reasons. So that's fine. He saw something in the Resound that he really liked. You didn't. You definitely walked away from that experience.
I did not like the experience at all.
But I will also say that just because it has a locked bootloader doesn't mean you can't do what you want to do with it. There are ways to root a Razer Max right now. XDA Forums is a great place to go. You're going to hear that name a couple of times in this episode. There are ways to do it. The locked bootloader, so many phones have locked bootloaders. That doesn't stop the development community from finding exploits that allow you to unlock your bootloader and root your phone. So,
the Razer doesn't have to be eliminated. He could.
What I'm saying. It doesn't have to be eliminated. If that's the one that you really like and the locked bootloader is the only thing keeping you away from it, I don't think you have a whole lot to worry about. It's a fantastic phone. And actually, a little bit later in the hardware section, I'm going to spend a little bit of time just very briefly comparing kind of what I think are the two premier Verizon Android phones, let alone two of the best Android phones out on the market right now. The Droid Razer Max and the Galaxy Nexus. Yeah. Kind of show you the differences between the two because they're both very strong on their own, but for different reasons.
Yeah, so seriously, Will, one of those two phones. Don't even just delete the Resound from your options right now. Telling you, you will be happy.
I wish I had spent some time to with the Resound, but I.
You don't want to.
Apparently, I don't.
Sorry, HTC. I mean, the camera's great. There's things about it that's great. I kind of, the gimmicks of the Beats. Yeah, it sounded a little bit better, but whatever. With these two phones out in the market now, no way would I even consider the Resound.
Yeah. And Paul D in the chat room says, but not always, there isn't always a way to crack these bootloaders and it might be more complicated. In the case of the Razer Max, it might actually be more complicated to do it. But I do know that there are ways to do it. And I mean, I spent 3 hours last night trying to root my Galaxy Tab. It's the Google I/O version of the Galaxy Tab, which apparently is different from all of the other Galaxy Tab 10.1s.
Definitely is different. Mine keeps crashing.
Yeah, it crashes where the other. I mean, mine didn't have that problem. But I mean, the process should have been very easy. And everything that I found online said that it was. But for some reason, in my case, it's not. So it's not without its headaches. But if you're a geek at heart, you'll enjoy the process. You'll enjoy the voyage. Potentially. Maybe not, Eileen.
Well, I had lots of. Well, we won't get into it now, but I had to send this in because.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
Whatever.
That's even further than most. Yeah. Most experiences get to. So.
People think I just destroy technology now. No, but my phones are okay. Look, I still have this
one. That
one
still works.
This one still works. All right,
let's take a quick break and thank one of our sponsors. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, periodicals. You name it, they probably have a book about it that you can listen to. For listeners of All About Android, you, my friend, have an offer. Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. And I highly recommend that you do. Anyone have a recommendation of something to check out?
I just started yesterday. I'm only like a half an hour into Ready Player One.
Oh, I've heard about that. Ernest Cline,
narrated by Will Wheaton.
And how is it so far?
So far, it's really good. You know, his reading is wonderful. And if you're a child of the 80s or if you love the 80s, you probably will like this, because there's a lot of references to 80s culture.
Cool.
And there's a big sort of gamer aspect to this book. And I literally just half an hour into it, I'm in. I'm sold. This is great.
Broadcasting obscure, eclectic
crap. This is a clip from it, I believe.
24/7, 365.
Yeah, that's Will Wheaton.
Earlier that year, GSS had...
Cool. I'll have to check this out. I actually have this on my wish list.
Do you?
But I haven't... and I have a credit. Maybe I should do that this month.
Get Ready Player One!
Yeah. Go for it. Do it.
Do it.
And then we'll talk about it again when I finish it.
Press start to begin.
There we go.
Welcome to...
So that's Ready Player One. It's available right now on Audible. If you want to get it for free, you can. You can download that for free or another one of your choice by going to audiblepodcast.com/android. That's audiblepodcast.com/android and check it out. Find a free audiobook and listen to it and you'll be hooked. And
you'll have all your books. If you have the Android app, all of your books will be saved.
They follow you everywhere.
Yes. So say you wanted to listen to Bossy Pants again or The Hunger Games. I'm just looking at what Chad's scrolling here. You could do that. Just re-download. I don't know. You have your whole library with you when you have that app. So
yeah. Good stuff. Love Audible. And thank you for sponsoring us, Audible.
Thank you, Audible.
I think you're just so great. All right, let's move into hardware. Chad. Sorry.
All right. Yesterday, I was just doing some story selection for another show, for Twit. And I ran into the sort of announcement of the LG Optimus VU.
VU, maybe?
1.5. A VU? I call it VU, 1.5 gigahertz. It's got a 4:3 aspect ratio. Hello, perfect for Instagram. 1024x768 res, 5-inch IPS LCD display. It has a stylus. It has an 8-megapixel camera, LTE. Now, it will ship with Android 2.3, but supposedly will get the upgrade after 3 months to ICS, and it's going to launch in Korea first in March. And
why
this
on earth
thing,
is it 4.3?
I don't know. Look at the book app. So if you're looking at the video, there's a little book app there. It kind of, I don't know. This
That's
is strange.
Tiny,
I wanna hold it. You know, it's supposed to be really slim.
And it's a phone or just
it's a phone. Yeah,
okay.
It's a phone.
So it's a
phablet
competitor.
It's a phablet.
What a strange like design. Well, she's very excited to be holding it.
She's
by
very
way.
Excited. I mean, this is supposed to sort of rival the Note, which is making a big splash. So I don't see the they don't show the stylus in any of these photos, do they? I don't think. But there you go.
So if screen resolution is if everyone's doing screen resolution based off of video, right? So you can play video. Why would you go to an old aspect ratio?
Maybe because it's better with books? I don't know.
I honestly
don't know.
I have no idea.
That's strange.
Yeah, it is a strange form factor. But I'm curious to know what everybody at Mobile World Congress thinks of it when they see it.
It just looks too small to read a book on. It doesn't look... I feel like 7 inches is the smallest that a true good book reading app can go.
You want to spend a lot of time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Leo loves his Samsung Note. He's here right now. He loves it. Well, there's a competitor coming out, the LG Optimus VU.
Weird looking. Square.
Yeah, exactly. 4.3.
That's what we're
we
talking about.
Can't figure out exactly why they chose to do
this. This is bad enough.
Leo says it's bad. He thinks it's bad. See?
Yeah, yeah, right?
Perfect.
Okay.
So go home, LG.
Go home. You're wrong.
We decided it's bad.
It's bad. Okay. They're also going to be the L3, L5, and L7. They're 3.2-inch, 4-inch, and 4.3-inch. For those of us who like smaller phones, I like the 4.3. I think 4.3 is my sweet spot.
Yeah.
all of four, the L5 and L7 is going to pack ice cream sandwich and ship sometime the first half of 2012. So LG's coming out with their suite of new phones that they're going to be showing off at Mobile World Congress, and it'll be interesting to hear. I'm not a big fan of LG.
I was just going to say, I got to say, my thoughts around LG phones, the ones that I've seen so far, including the Spectrum, and they even say here, like, they're getting back to more realizing that it's like a lifestyle. Like, people want a phone that represents their lifestyle and kind of, you know, fashion stylistically, you know, offering phones that are a little bit more appealing. But so far, I have not been that impressed with LG phones.
The Spectrum
has a really nice paper. And then
the Spectrum looks really nice if you're watching HD content, but the phone itself is kind of meh. And the Revolution was horrible.
LG's always had their phones have always been a little, I don't want to say janky, but they've always been like not like you. I remember going to the store, I'm like, oh, LG, like it's always seems a little,
it's kind of
less than.
Yeah, G2X is buggy.
Yeah, Leo says the G2X was buggy. So there you go. I mean, LG phones, we'll see. I think they're trying to be different. And we'll see if any of these succeed. But every time I pick up, I see the overlay of LG.
What a company like LG needs to do, or any company that isn't kind of the big three or however many of the big ones are, is they need to get out with a device with ice cream sandwich before everybody else. Because ice cream sandwich is such a hot button in the Android world kind of thing right now, is that anybody that can capitalize on that before the others kind of get to it, you're probably going to make a little bit of money. That probably won't make the device any better. And we actually don't know much about these LG devices other than what they've said in their press release and their leaks before Mobile World Congress. They could be great phones. So,
I got to say, based off the models, it looks like that VOO model is enjoying that device much more than the Optimus models. They just didn't seem very excited at all.
You know what you're seeing there is true representation of how much they like the phone.
Yes.
No, those Optimus models, they're just like, I've got a phone.
All right.
I'd really rather be at the Samsung booth. They do. Look at them. They do not look happy. Yeah.
They do not want to be there.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I wish I was at the Samsung booth. And she's like, yes, I love the Optimus booth. Look at how cute. And I could draw with the maps.
Yep. Maybe what they wish is that they were at the Motorola booth, right? Yeah. Ron?
I think so. Especially if some of the rumors that we're hearing as Mobile World Congress news starts to leak out, the PocketNow.com's got the first word of Motorola's first Intel-powered ice cream sandwich phone. They're rumored that, and we got some imagery here that you can see. Chad, you want to pull that up? Yeah, so Motorola's first ice cream sandwich powered handset, and not only that, but it's also running Intel's Medfield platform,
right?
Which is Motorola's first ice cream sandwich Intel powered device.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. All we've seen so far is this this picture, so we don't know more details around it, but looks like it's coming. So.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about this design? I don't know. It adds a lot of extra space to it, like
right at the bottom, the bezel at the bottom,
the chin.
There's a lot. The chin, you're right.
The chin's
there's
back.
A lot
chin,
of space there. I don't know. If it's light, then I won't.
It
really
also
care.
Moves away from the Battlestar Galactica form factor that I like.
It has
so much.
A little bit of it, but it's not nearly as drastic. Yeah.
Just tell me there's Kevlar, and I'm in.
So they rumored that they said the one thing that about this is that the camera is supposed to be the big selling point.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to have instant on capabilities and a 15 frame per second burst capture.
Ooh.
So. Yeah,
it could be
aimed for those, you know, photo files. So
okay,
it does look a little thicker along the top. It looks like it slopes up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Oh well,
we'll see.
We
One
shall
month ago
see.
Before Mobile World Congress. I'm excited.
And I saw some pictures earlier over the weekend about some leaked. I wish I would have put them in here. Moto Blur images with ice cream sandwich.
I have it in there for you.
Oh, great. Well, let's pull that up. Actually, Chad, at the bottom of the next block is leaked images of ice cream sandwich on Razer. And then we'll get into kind of my Razer Galaxy Nexus comparison. But I got to say just real quick, like it looks like, I don't know if this is just early and that's why, but it doesn't look horrible. If you scroll down, I think there's more.
I love it. It doesn't look horrible. No, go to Droid Life.
I see. Via Droid Life.
Via Droid Life right there. Yeah.
Yeah, because the one that I saw had a bunch of different images.
There we go.
And, you know, it's kind of blur-ish, which you're going to see more blur on this.
You scroll down.
On the Droid Razer Max.
There you go.
There we go. But it kind of, you know, it doesn't look.
It doesn't look that bad. I mean, obviously, on the homepage, there's a ton of Verizon bloatware, but
I guess it's really hard to say when you're looking at screens to see how you really feel about it. You almost have to spend like a good 10 minutes with these things before you really get your gut reaction of like, okay, yeah, this sucks. Or
I still think it looks like ICS.
There are a lot of parts that actually do represent what we're used to seeing in ice cream sandwiches so far. It just doesn't make sense for me for manufacturers to come out with their skins and totally model them after what their skins have been thus far, mm-hmm. based on how much of a dramatic change ice cream sandwiches from the previous model. So I'm happy to see that they're kind of keeping some of that feel of ice cream sandwich in there. It still looks blurry.
They all want their own identity. That's
yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, that's the font, right? And yeah. that's yeah, Roboto. Totally. And totally. I see the color palette there. There's the blue on the on button there. Yeah. yeah. So I think it's mostly there.
Yeah,
I
looks
really
pretty
don't
good.
Think it looks,
it
bad.
Looks better than I would have expected yeah. for Motoblur.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna tweak things to give their own identity, like the dialer and maybe the contacts section and you know things like that. So I think that's fine if they want to express themselves in some way. That's okay. But you're right. I'm glad to see the majority of ice cream sandwich represented here. So.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. All right. Well, let's do a quick comparison. I thought this might be kind of interesting because I've spent a lot of time with the Galaxy Nexus now, and I've spent a good amount of time with the Droid Razr Max. In my opinion, these are kind of the phones to get personally, but that's possibly because those are the ones that I've used. But I can't see very many other phones out on the market that are like, okay, these are the ones that I absolutely yeah. love. And what I was thinking is we could actually keep a little score. So if one of you wants to just keep a score,
okay.
running score, because there are a lot on both sides, and we can kind of take a look at these. And I mean, I'll just hold them up, but I'm not going to do much more than that. So taking a look, we have the Droid Razr Max on the left here. And we have the chat room in the background. And we have the Galaxy Nexus on the right. So I'm just going to kind of go through the list here and kind of list these things. So the Max is always going to be first. Amazing battery life on the Max. Okay to moderate battery life on the Galaxy Nexus. So I think it's okay. I don't know what your experience has been. But the battery is top-notch on the Max. Strong antenna on the Galaxy on the Razr Max. I found that the antenna on the Razr Max was just way more powerful than what I consider to be a very weak antenna on the Galaxy Nexus. They say possibly a software update is going to fix the antenna issues on the Galaxy Nexus. That remains to be seen. Device feels really solid on the Razr Max. I actually love to hold and use the Razr Max. Device kind of feels plasticky on the Galaxy Nexus. Like this back compartment, as flexible as it is and everything, it just kind of has a hollow feel to it.
The scoring so far seems pretty weighted.
Yeah, I feel like the Max is really hitting, you know.
Well, it's like I'm sitting here trying to keep track, and I'm like,
I'm trying, Max, I know. Max, it's like, Max, Max awesome, right. awesome. Nexus weak.
Okay, well, here you go. Here's the other side. Droid Razr Max, gingerbread.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
It has gingerbread on it. And, you know, the Galaxy Nexus is stock ice cream sandwich. That's the other part that's actually in Galaxy Nexus's favor is that it's stock. It's not just ice cream sandwich, but it's stock. And the Razr Max has Moto Blur. So you know, that's a couple of points for the Galaxy Nexus right there. Razr Max gets its updates from Motorola, which means you could be waiting a long time for your updates. Galaxy Nexus, one of its strongest features is updates directly from Google. So you're going to get those hopefully a lot quicker. Droid Razr Max, as we mentioned earlier, has a locked bootloader versus the Galaxy Nexus having an unlocked bootloader. So I would definitely give it for the Galaxy Nexus there. Good stuff. Micro SD slot on the Droid Razr Max. You can see it right there, down at the bottom there. And there is no removable storage in the Galaxy Nexus. So that has to go to the Droid Razr Max. Non-removable battery on the Razr Max, which could, you know, be a stinker for some, whereas underneath this plasticky container on the Galaxy Nexus, you absolutely can remove the battery. I actually put an extended battery in there, and I've been very happy with it. So that's a plus for the Galaxy Nexus. Loudspeaker. This one, I think, flies under the radar, but it bugs the hell out of me. This speaker on the Razr Max is really loud. I can do so many things and play like podcasts through the speaker up at the top here and be totally fine. The Galaxy Nexus, as I've talked about in previous episodes, you need an app to do it. And even then, it's just, I don't know. It's not good enough. Camera, 8 megapixel for the Droid Razr Max, 5 megapixel for the Galaxy Nexus. that may or may not matter to you because it's all about the quality of the pictures side by side. And picture comparison between the two, I'd say that they're pretty dead on for the most part, in my opinion. If it's really good light, they both do a really good job. 4.3-inch display on the Droid Razer Max versus 4.65-inch display on the Galaxy Nexus. So you get a little bit of size edge. I don't know if that means that it necessarily wins or loses. They're kind of...
For me, that's probably right. Why I like the
so
Max
I'd say score those kind of evenly. Pentile display on both, so that's pretty even, right?
Yeah.
Although you see it a little bit more on the Droid Razer Max because of the resolution. 960 by 540 on the Razer Max, and it's 1280 by 720 on the Galaxy Nexus.
Wow.
So how do we add those up? I don't even know. I want to say it's pretty even, right?
No.
If I had to choose between the two after you just laid them out that way, I would go with the Nexus.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Even with the weak antenna, the weak battery life, the plasticky feel.
Okay, well, hang on. So to combat that, I've had the Nexus S, which has that plasticky feel, which I got used to, and it's fine. Weak battery life, you can replace it with an extended battery because you can take the cover off and put another battery in. And then the weak antenna, that's the one thing. That's the only thing where I'm just like, because I'd have to see how it works in the wild. But stacking that against the Droid Razer Max, even though I really like that phone, I like the form factor, but running Gingerbread, having the Motorola crap on it, and there was another point which I can't recall now, but those dings are just enough to me to knock me over to the Nexus side.
I actually thought that the Pentile display was worse than the Nexus when I used it. The Nexus to me has a better camera than the Razer. I haven't used the Max. There's something about the camera that I like. At least the quality, and when I took pictures of the Nexus, it just seemed to always turn out pretty good compared to the Razer. I would have some blurry photos where I'd have another camera side by side, and that would be fine. So I got a little, I was a little unhappy with that. Mm-hmm. ICS is a big deal for me.
I think ICS is one of the main reasons why you go with the Galaxy Nexus. That and direct support from Google. And that's why you can't take these piece by piece and just add them up and say the total number wins, because some of them are obviously weighted heavier than others. Getting those updates direct from Google is probably one of the top two reasons to have a Galaxy Nexus phone. And most people that get it that, you know, are more than just a casual user of Android got it because of that.
Yeah. That said, because I have this phone that you loaded ICS on it. It runs a little slow to me on the Nexus S. And I've only been playing with it for a couple days, and I had the Nexus for like a week or so, and then I had the Max for a long time. That said, I really loved my experience with the Razer. Yeah, right. I really, really loved it. And, I didn't long so much for ICS. I didn't have a problem so much without, not having it. I'm a real big proponent of I finally have come around, and I think Motorola has created a very nice phone. So yeah. I honestly might get the Max.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the argument on the ice cream sandwich side of things is that they've got to get they're going to release it sooner
exactly.
or later.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, so it's not that much of a ding. Yeah, and I don't know. I do like that SD card. They are evenly matched.
See, when you put them side by side, it's like they both have really valuable points on both sides. It's really easy to give it automatically to the Galaxy Nexus. And I agree. I love my Galaxy Nexus. But the more I use the Razer Max, the more I'm like, man, if I could have stock ice cream sandwich on the Razer Max,
it
would be great.
Sold.
You know, and even though you're not getting your updates direct from Google, I mean, I root and ROM my phones anyways, so that's not as big a deal to me. I can understand why it would be for a lot of other people, though. So I don't know if this really cleared much up. I guess what you have to do is listen to that list and find the things that are really important to you. And depending on how those kind of fare in this comparison, then you might have the idea for what phone you got to get. So, all right, that's it. Let's get into apps.
All right, so some interesting developments around Google and Latitude. I don't know if you remember Latitude or not, but Latitude was Google's location-based app that I quickly disabled as quickly as it came on my phone. which a lot of other people did, which is surprising. But with the Engadget picked up, there was a quiet update that actually happened recently to the Maps application within Google, which added in another layer of functionality to Latitude, which is a leaderboard. Basically, now that when you check in on Latitude, you add up a point, you add up points, and then that ranks Google Plus users against the global leaderboard, just like on Foursquare. So could this be Latitude inching towards being a Foursquare competitor? Who knows? It's interesting to see that on Gadget that Leo is leading the leaderboard.
Yes. I don't even know if he knows. Yeah. I meant to tell him, but yeah, he's leading.
Good on you, Leo. So that's good. But so I don't know if this means that they're going to start, kind of turn up the dial, but this is what Google does. They release things, they see how it goes, and kind of quietly, then they start adding more features, and next thing you know, it's a powerhouse. So
yeah.
This could be telling in terms of the direction of Latitude. I don't know. I'm still not using it because I like to control that. You see, and I know Latitude probably allows some level of control.
But I
know you can. I know you can. But I also don't like the random publishing to a map where people can find me. It's like, let me do that, which Latitude can. I'm going to go back and check it out now that they have this.
Oh, it really seems like Foursquare is kind of the one to there was one single one to choose. It seems like more people are on Foursquare using it actively than probably – Latitude.
What was really funny was that a friend of mine pinged me this past weekend. It's like, so are people over Foursquare? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I just don't hear anybody talking about it. I was like, right, but everybody, at least but everybody just uses it.
Yeah.
It's become like an ubiquitous kind of, everyone that I'm friends with, not everyone, but the majority are on Foursquare. We all use the check-in, but there's no like hype or mania around it. It's become a part of our daily, daily usage. So I think that's interesting. But
yeah. Yeah, I've never been able. I've tried and tried and tried with Foursquare.
Don't want to be mayor.
Have no regular use.
You don't want to be mayor of Master Control. I am.
No, when I have to force myself to remember to check into a service, like it just kind of takes the fun out of it. So real quick here, Swype. If you are a fan of Swype, that's the keyboard that you can kind of put your finger on the keys and just swipe through the keys and it'll spell out your word magically. They have a new beta that packs support for Ice Cream Sandwich. And I installed it just real quick before the show. I guess I could show it here if we want to take a look at it real quick. So let's see here. We'll go into catch notes and enter a note. And there it is. There's the Swype keyboard. It looks kind of handy. Hello. Hey, it spelled it right. It also has a voice dictation that's powered by their Dragon-based Nuance system. Nuance actually purchased Swype for $100 million, I believe, back in October. So if you hit this. Hello, I am recording an episode of All About Android. How are you doing? Let's see if that worked. Hello, I am recording an episode of All About Android. How are you doing? Hey, that worked.
Nice.
Awesome. Supposedly, you can go through here and do Shakespeare readings, and it does a better job than Google's stock voice to text for Shakespeare. So anyways, you can check it out. They have the Swype beta is available if you register, and you can use it for free. And I imagine, once it's rolled into their keyboard available through the market, then you'll have to pay for it. But it's a pretty slick keyboard.
Swype is one of the interesting apps because they're one of the only apps I'm downloading right now on my phone, the update. They manage all the updates inside their own app as opposed to the Android market, which I thought was interesting, which I don't see a lot of, a lot of other applications doing. They're managing apps, managing upgrades internally, which is interesting. Anyway, okay.
Cool. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Amazon MP3. It goes along with our theme in the arena. The app itself is now tablet optimized. So I have it here on my tablet, and now it takes up the whole screen. It's kind of looking like if you have a Kindle Fire, the color scheme is the same here. You go into the store. Actually, it looks very much like what you would find on the Kindle Fire. And now it's ready to go for your device. Device, cloud, actually, yeah. They've done a really nice job. There's a little bit of black space here, but it's better than it being white, I think. The white hurts my eyes that way. So anyways, get the update if you haven't already gotten it.
All right. That is that. Let's do a quick email, and we can try and rush ourselves into the arena. Dave writes in and says, I have a question about rooting practices. Having recently upgraded to the Razr, which is a fantastic phone, by the way.
Good job.
I noticed that there are a few bloatware apps, NFL, Slacker, etc., that can't be removed unless the phone is rooted. That is true. There's a lot of bloatware. That's one serious downside that I didn't mention in that comparison. Therefore, I've decided to give this whole rooting thing a try so I can get rid of these and other unwanted apps. After doing a few Google searches, I realized that one, CyanogenMod, the one name brand I've actually heard of, is not available for the Motorola Droid Razr. And I'll just go ahead and end that by yet. I'd be very surprised if they didn't eventually, but it doesn't appear that they do have support for it right now. Two, there is a whole lot of helpful sites offering advice on this, but most seem sketchy, so I'm turning to people I trust and asking if you know of a good tutorial, including how to back up the original ROM to restore back to factory specs if needed on a reliable site. And it also asks for recommended quality ROMs under active development. It's hard to recommend ROMs for phones that I don't have because the ROM development for every phone is a little bit differently. That's where CyanogenMod kind of is great. They're one of the few developers of these ROMs that encompasses a whole wide range of devices. A lot of times you're going to find particular ROMs made by a developer that happens to have that phone or a small team. So you're going to find a smaller list of devices. So it's hard to recommend a quality ROM. But if you have not checked out XDA, I told you earlier, this is going to come up again. XDA Developers is the place to go. Go to XDA Developers, search for the Droid Razr. You can also find the Droid Razr Max in there. And then search for the forum on development. And you will find up at the very top of that forum stickies for different ways on how to root the device, how to wipe out the root, unroot your device, as well as whatever the top ROMs are. Read through some of those forums, find one that looks appealing to you and that has good kind of feedback from the community through the forum, and then you can install it and see what you think. One of the fun things about doing this is that you're not necessarily tied to whatever you install. Install it and see what you think, and if you don't like it, back up your data and then install another one, and eventually you end up landing on one that you think is pretty awesome. So I hope that helps, Dave. Maybe you've already found XDA, but if you have, take a look at it a little bit closer, because that's kind of the place to go. That and RootsWiki actually also has a good kind of community built around support for this type of thing. So check that out as well. All right, let's before we jump into the arena and duke it out with each other, let's take a quick break and thank our other sponsor, Ford. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring EcoBoost. Now, EcoBoost is the engine technology from Ford that delivers the power of a larger engine in a smaller one. It has helped make the 7-passenger Ford Explorer best-in-class highway fuel economy. And here's how Ford did it. They redesigned the conventional engine to meet fuel efficiency standards. They created EcoBoost engine technology by reducing the number of cylinders to improve efficiency and compensating for the loss in horsepower and torque through a combination of other technologies, including direct injection, turbocharging, all that kind of stuff. Basically, EcoBoost combines two technologies, like I said, direct injection and twin turbocharging. NDI produces a cooler, denser charge that generates more power per drop of fuel, while the two small engine-cooled turbochargers spool up more quickly than a single large turbo. Wow, this is like geekier than Android development.
I know, yeah.
Energy from the engine's exhaust, which would otherwise be wasted, rotates the turbine wheels, and each turbine is coupled to a compressor that pressurizes incoming air, significantly increasing output per liter. Now, you experience instantaneous low-end torque responsiveness with virtually no turbo lag. You can look for the 2.0-liter EcoBoost engine on the 2012 Explorer and Edge. The 2013 Escape, which is coming spring 2012, will offer 1.6-liter and 2.0-liter EcoBoost options. And if you're sick of listening to me talk about this stuff, you want to learn more on your own about this and other technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles, go check them out at Ford.com/technology. And Ford, we thank you so much for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, they're doing so much.
No kidding.
Just go through the site and you'll see why they're, a match made in heaven for Twit. So,
SciWisdom in the chat room mentions, I guess this is how non-Android normals feel about All About Android. You hear this, you're like, my brain exploded.
Oh, no,
all I know is that it makes a good car. So, anyways, thank you, Ford. You guys are awesome. Let's get dirty. Let's get rough and tumble and get in the arena.
Cannot wait.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Getting dirty. Getting dirty.
Yeah, so...
I've been waiting all show for this.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, so
thank you, United States. Thank you, China, Australia, most of Europe. You know, you guys know a good app when you see one. And I knew you would like my app. Stick it. Yeah.
Yeah, now that was a good choice. That was good. And you haven't seen that before, you know, that was so... Super original on Android.
It was a good find. Yeah.
It was a good find. You win this time.
Yep. I win fair and square. Oh,
so
my Lord.
So Stick It wins with 54% of the vote. Stick It, Eileen.
Stick It.
There you go.
Yes, I did.
Decide wins or wins second place. There we go. With 26%.
You know, the interesting is that as far as I could tell, Decide didn't take any countries other than Pakistan.
No, you got Mexico.
Yeah, you got Mexico.
Oh, did I get Mexico?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I did get Mexico. Awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, I'll take Mexico.
My
I'll take
game.
Mexico, Pakistan. I'm down for it.
Yeah.
Brazil. Brazil usually loves me, but they loved you.
That's right, Brazil.
Jason.
Thank you.
And did you get
Thank
Libya? You got Libya and Sweden and India.
You know, I just
Laos.
Just, you know, basketball.
Did you take the Philippines from me?
Basketball must not be a big deal in the world. Basketball, because otherwise, this should have been a blowout. This should have been nothing but net. All right.
And see, if you had timed that after this past week with that Lin guy, then I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Jeremy Lin is all over the place on Twitter.
This should have been nothing but net. Instead, it was an air ball.
Oh well.
Oh well. And I always know. I feel like I know better than to do games because I don't play them a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I talk about them, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, here's a game. And I actually do like this one. I play it more. But I think I'll just stick with productivity stuff.
All right.
More or less, unless we do a game challenge. So congratulations, Eileen.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. You did
a good job. You done good.
My beauty queen wave.
So that means that, Eileen, you will be going last.
Yes, I will.
Today. And I will be going first. So I might as well just hop right into it here. I took all my notes on my app because the app that I am going to be doing is called, let's see here, let me find it on the desktop here. It's called Jotterpad HD. Now, there is a free version of it. Here we go. There's a free version of it as well as a paid version. The free version is more or less fully functional minus a few functions. The paid app is $3.99. I have the paid app here so I can show that to you. Now, Jotterpad HD is a lightweight word processing utility, and you can use it with your touchpad keyboard, or you can use it with an external keyboard, and it becomes, you know, more or less a really easy to use, good looking word processing app. First of all, I have to thank Leif Sikorsky on Google+ for the tip. He threw this by way and thought I might like it. And I mean, from the second that I opened it up, I was like, wow, this looks really good. It's tablet only. So it's honeycombing up. So you can't get this on the phone, and it's meant to be a tablet app. So I actually made this, made my notes within the app. It's a lightweight. So it's meant for easy, quick changes. It has a clean UI and easy style changes. So if you need things to get, you know, larger or smaller, you can do it really easily, or you can change your font really quick and change it to something that maybe matches a little bit more what you want right off the top. It has built-in search, so you can search through your documents and find elements of that. Undo redo, which is one of what the developer says, one of the top kind of requests for apps like this. And that was kind of his goal, is to create a word processing app that is low on total number of features, but high on the top requested features, so that you get exactly what you want out of something like this. It has something called Time Machine, which you can see down here. It says Time Machine Backups. And this is essentially every time you save your doc, it saves an instance of it. And you can have up to 20 previous versions of your document to restore parts as needed. So if you want to hop into an earlier version of it, let's see here. You can go into the Time Machine and you can see the two different versions that you have. Go back and you might be able to cut out a piece of that and copy it into your new one if what you want is to have something from your old version in there. You can export to PDF and TXT, which is kind of nice to allow you to kind of share it in other ways. There's a night mode. So let me go into edit here and turn on the the light bulb. So you can put it into night mode. And, you know, it's easier on the eyes if it's at night. Let's see here. We'll go up here. There are ribbon themes, which I'm not really too clear on these, and I wouldn't use them, but they're basically a way to kind of theme up your word processing. A data backup. You can do a full backup of all of your docs onto your SD card and restore them later if you like. And it's compatible with physical and Bluetooth keyboards, including using things like shortcut keys. You know, Control C, Control X, Control Z are just a few examples of ways to actually use this as if you were using a desktop word processor. I do wish that you could link it or sync it up with Google Docs in some way. It seems like the kind of a no-brainer thing to be able to eventually sync, you know, your word processing docs up to Google Docs. Add it, you know, hopefully they add in support for things like bullet points, because I actually wanted to use that for this doc. It would make it easier. And, you know, backup to Dropbox, which you can actually do if you share to Dropbox. You could share your doc and it'll put a copy of it. But overall, I picked it because it's a tablet-only app, and it actually just, you know, it's very simple, but it's elegant looking, and it's pretty solid to use. It's very easy word processing thing to use. I think really this probably sings a little bit more if you have a detachable keyboard. Even if you have like the Bluetooth Apple keyboard and mm-hmm. you have it on your desktop, you could easily pair it to this and use it.
Probably great with the Prime, huh?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I saw a few comments that were talking about using this with the Prime. So yeah, if you need kind of a lightweight word processing app, this looks good. And the free version is actually, I think the only thing that I could tell from between the free and the paid is the nighttime mode. There has to be another function. Nighttime mode isn't the most, you know, essential function out there. So use the free version and see what you think of it. It's honeycombing up. So if you have a tablet, you should check it out. That is JotterPad HD.
Very cool.
There we go.
Ron.
Cool. I'm up. So a little less productive than a boring word processor.
I thought. Did you just call Jason Zapp boring?
I'm teasing.
Jeez, look at he's fuming. He's fuming.
I'm kidding.
Oh my god! Just next week, Ron. Oh, I'm gonna put you.
Yeah, we gotta kick him off.
Maybe Ron will do the show from the living room and.
Well, anyway, I took a bit more of an entertaining approach. And for those of you longtime folks who watch the show, you know that I'm a big fan of music. And so I'm always looking for interesting music discovery apps. And I came across this tablet app called Rumpus, which is it's free in the Android marketplace. And it is basically a music discovery engine. And what's interesting is that it's all based around your interests. And then what really got me to it was that it has a lot of information. So when it comes up, it's a very simple kind of nice design. They suggest a couple of bands ranging from Norah Jones to Megadeth. But you can search for any band. You just hit that little search icon. And if you typed in, you know, in this case, let's type in Motorhead, right? And what's interesting is that what it will do is it will then...
Motor.
See, I swear this tablet.
It's catching up. It'll catch up with you.
And they have the auto suggest in there, so they want us to actually type stuff in. That's what's causing
Motor Home. Sorry. I'm not trying to sabotage you, I swear, Ron. Okay, here we go.
All right, so when you pull it up, what you get is you get a bio of the band, you get some photos. In the lower left-hand corner, you get a whole breakdown of releases. And if you swipe to the left, you can see videos, and it integrates with YouTube to the left in the lower left-hand box. Just swipe to the left.
Am I going?
You see the two dots under releases?
No. Where am I?
Lower left-hand corner.
Okay, so
there you go. So you
see
videos.
I swear I'm not trying to sabotage you. Okay, go ahead.
And so you can click on any of those, and that will pull up. That will pull up the flash video. So yeah, but then on the right hand side, this is where the true power really comes into this. Is that on the right hand side you've got comparisons. So you can say this band sounds like, and there's a bunch of bands that sound like Motorhead, or you can. You can click the influences tab, and you can see who Motorhead has influenced. And then you can click the influenced by tab and see who's been influenced by them.
Who the heck is Shorty? Okay.
So what's really neat is that if you're like, okay, I like Motorhead, then maybe I want to listen to a band that's been influenced by them. So it's a neat, interesting way to kind of discover new music. In the upper right-hand corner, you can add it to your list. And so you can add bands and keep a track of the list of the bands that you're discovering. Now, this does tie into a music sale service called that little M in the lower left-hand corner. And actually in the bottom center.
Uh-huh. Oh, this year?
Yeah. Oh, I lost video, so I'm blind. But if you click the M, it loads up in a browser, Mediadrome, which is a music store where you can purchase music from. But you can totally use this app without needing to worry about that integration of Mediadrome. I mean, they're using this as a way to help kind of use a discovery engine and say, okay, great, now go buy this music here. But the Rumpus app itself is just a great example of utilizing a lot of the information that's available on the web to help you discover new bands and sample them by listening to the music through the videos. And it's the kind of thing where I was playing with it. I got lost for about 20 minutes just going down through that influenced by versus influenced and that kind of wormhole of discovering new bands. And like, great, I like Norah Jones. Who was she influenced by? Maybe I should listen to somebody like that. So,
No, this is actually a really beautifully designed app.
Yep.
It's very easy to sort of navigate through. Sorry, when you're giving me directions, I'm like,
I know, it's okay.
And then you can just save a bunch of bands in your list. Now I have, I thought I had someone saved. That's probably best.
But it's a classy, subtle design, you know, and it kind of being honest, you see those spinning wheels. It's loading a lot of information from the web, from various sources, both from there, as well as from YouTube and stuff like that. So you want to watch your connection. It probably works best over Wi-Fi. But it's a fun app to use. And like I said, I got lost for about 15, 20 minutes when I was playing with it. And just kind of like, going down that well of being like, oh yeah, I like that band. And oh, this band is like them. And who's like them? And, you know, and you just, and then next thing you know, you're 20 steps in and you've discovered 5 new bands.
I wonder, are the suggestions, or not the suggestions, but the comparisons, influenced by, influencing, all that stuff, is that derived by the service? Or
that's a good question. I was trying to figure that out. I was trying to figure out whether or not that those connections are being from some other web service or something like that. But I'm pretty sure it's from Rumpus and from them doing their associations.
Yeah, right.
And whoever's behind them. So
that's cool.
Music
discovery really seems like, the kind of thing that, like, you hear a lot about music discovery ways, sites and apps and stuff like that, but there isn't one to rule them all. You know what I mean? Yeah. There isn't one that's come out that's really cracked that nut yet.
Right, exactly. And the thing is that, like, most often I don't even – music discovery services aren't something I utilize. Generally, I use word of mouth or friends or things like that. But – this really kind of surprised me in terms of I was looking up bands. I listened to a lot of, a little obscure punk stuff and Britpop and things like that. And the influences and the influence by sections were spot on. And so, like, if somebody who didn't have the record store nerd knowledge that I have of knowing bands, they would find the same bands I listened to by using this app. And so that really, got a lot of points in my book. So.
Sure. Awesome.
And it's free and it's tablet optimized. So there you go.
Very cool.
Cool. That's Rumpus.
Rumpus. I love the names of your apps. Rumpus, Hipsta. all right. Well, it's my turn, and I'm going to go with an oldie but goodie. And what I mean by oldie is that this is a game that maybe some of you have played in the 90s. And I played about 10 years ago nonstop on my desktop. And there is a $7 version of this app that has been available in the Android marketplace for a while now. But over the weekend, and thank you, Marlon, for your suggestion. I'm going to call him out here. Sims Free Play was just announced. And free play means everything's free. But, of course, there's in-app purchases. And this is the Sims that you know and love. I actually don't know really all the differences between the $7 version and the free version. I actually really like the free version. Now I hope that the Wi-Fi doesn't crap out on me. Because one of the cons that I will say is that you absolutely need Wi-Fi in order to play this, or some sort of connection. You can't play offline. And that was a pick that Marlon had. But when you open it up and when it eventually loads, it's also a huge, huge game. So the download takes, several minutes. But as you can see here, you can rotate like you would, like on Google Maps, and all the same music and sim language is here. I have a few. I have Simlish. Yes. Right now, I started on Thursday, so I only have 5 Sims in here. I have Simoleons, and then these are life points. And then my town, my actual town, you could see here the landscape of the town I'm going to go to, is worth about $60,000 or $60,000. 60,000 simoleons. And here, let me just kind of fly you through. This is what the Sims game here on the tablet looks like. Looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks really good.
It looks great. Yeah. And it's really graphics intensive. Does it lag at all, or did you have to adjust?
I have to say, on my Samsung Galaxy Tab, this thing here that I've had a difficult time, it crashes. Every once in a while, it does crash, but I think it's the device. I don't think it's actually the...
Well, it could be the game itself could be taxing. Yeah.
So let me see. She's out to work. So I have like 5 characters here. I'm going to go into one of their homes. Actually, I think he's at work, too.
Do they know you're going into their home?
And you can build just like anyone, just like you would. I really love the tablet experience because one nitpick about the tablet experience is that you cannot fast forward the time like you can on the desktop. But that's okay for me because, and here you could actually farm, too. And the reason why I say that is because I don't want to spend too much time and obsessing over this game. When they go to bed for 8 hours, they go to bed for 8 hours. And you can't fast forward that. You can actually use some of your life points in order to wake them up. But why do that? Let them sleep. Okay, so let me show you some characteristics. So here's my cowboy. And he doesn't have any floors. So I'm going to buy him a new floor. So you go in here to the store and you go in their home.
You're so nice.
Yeah. And let's see. Should I give him what kind of floor? Should I buy you a floor? What do you think the cowboy would have? He'd just have hardwood floors, right?
Sure.
Should I give him some crazy floors? Should I give him hearts? And then you could select which room.
You're going to give the cowboy a complex.
And then you can see how much it costs, 150 simoleons. And you hit yes. And then you're done. If I wanted... Now, the game itself actually has some tasks. Like right now, they say, go buy a coffee machine. It prompts you to do certain things that maybe you might not want to do to kind of level up and get your town growing. So, all right, I'm going to buy a coffee machine for the cowboy. So, let's see. That would be under appliances. Do I have enough simoleons? Yeah, 1,900 simoleons. You can see how, oh, look, it's only 750. Let's put it... the weird thing is it doesn't let you put it up on a counter, which is kind of bizarre. Let's see if I can put it up there. Oh, yes, you can. So you just kind of move it around. And there, I hit my goal. One selfish thing I have to say is that this is Hazel Brown's off to work. And she was the first avatar that I created. And she's also a vigilante. Ooh. They all have different kinds of, you know, they're a socialite, you know, an artist, that kind of thing. I'm going to go to her house. And I was sold hook, line, and sinker because I'm going to go to her house right now. Let's just go into her house. I know she's not there. But when you start the game, you get a dog. You get a free dog. And I got a German Shepherd, which is my favorite breed. So there you go. And the dog itself, when you see a little a shovel, you could get free simoleons or life points or whatever. But
it's a cool looking game.
Look at how fun this is to kind of move around. And you can, you know, change up the buildings, buy new appliances. Just exactly the same kind of sim experience that you are kind of... used to. And again, because you can't fast forward the time, it really doesn't force you to obsess and sit here and you know, keep playing and playing.
It keeps it very casual.
Definitely. So if you just kind of want to, if you're more of a quick experience person, just kind of get in and out, this is probably perfect for you. And again, there's tons of little quests and, you know, you keep building it. I have to say, it does take a long time to get money, to get simoleons. But that's probably the point. So you're not sitting here playing forever.
Right.
But man, I have to say, I've been playing every day. And let's see. I got 2 of my people. They're out to work right now. Let's see, 6 o'clock. I'm going to be making sure that they get home and are fed in time. I got to get this guy a job. This is my cowboy. He's still unemployed. I got to do something about that. Yeah. But honestly, it's been a great experience. And it's free. Did I say that this was free? The Sims free play available right now, and it looks awesome on your tablet.
That's great. That looks really good.
Yeah.
That is solid. And it's just, it's free, but the way they do that is with in-app purchases.
Yeah, there's in-app purchases on here. You know, you could buy simoleons, you could buy life points. They even package up, you know, a combo of both. Yeah, you could get hooked that way. I'm trying not to buy anything, and I'm just trying to just play the game as, you know, as slowly as possible. Yeah. The one thing, too, I remember when playing The Sims originally, like when they are tired and they got to go to bed. I don't see that here. I had this, I had one of my Sims guys planting overnight and he wasn't tired when I woke him up the next, when I got back the next morning. He was like, yeah, I planted.
The poor guy just worked all night.
He worked all night and he wasn't sleepy. I was confused. So it's not as harsh as I guess the original Sims would be, but that's okay. It's a nice casual free game, but do keep in mind it takes a while to download when you do.
Yeah. We probably should warn people that at least when I played The Sims when it initially came out, it grabbed a lot of my attention. So be warned.
It's addictive.
I know. And Marlon, you got me addicted. I'm a little. I will admit that I have spent quite a bit of my President's Day weekend playing
Simming.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I had a town to show you guys, too. And, you know, I didn't even show you guys interacting with The Sims.
That's cool. That's a great-looking game.
Anyways.
Let's see here. So you can vote for your favorite app this week. I have a feeling I know where I'm going to be on the scale come next week. bit.ly/AAA48poll. That's bit.ly/AAA48poll. And let us know what you think is the best app this week. JotterPad HD, Sims Free Play, or Rumpus. And voting has begun. It appears that I am swiftly... No, okay. Okay.
Early Sims, on the voting, it gets very... It swings.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you never really know. But I... Yeah, that's Sims. That's a cool
Jotter, looking. There you go. Jotter's full. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, we'll see where it lands next week. announce next week's... competition. I have in here apps that have cats.
Cats?
No.
I don't like cats. Really? Yeah.
No, I didn't put that in there. Oh. I don't know who did. I don't know who did. I thought one of you did.
It was Chad.
He wants us to talk about cats, but I'm allergic to cats. So.
I'm allergic to cats, too.
Well, then I guess we're not talking about cats then. Sorry, everyone. We'll figure it out. We'll just do a regular one.
Yeah,
Still send in your submissions, though. If you develop Android apps, we should definitely have sometime very soon arena around just fans of the show that develop apps.
That would be
totally
great.
Should. I've gotten a bunch of folks who have submitted stuff to me to check out and review, and so that'd be cool to do like a submitted arena.
Yeah absolutely. Yeah. So let's maybe target that for like 2 weeks from now. That gives you, if you haven't sent us your suggestions to AAA@twit.tv, another week to do so. Send us an email with your app. Make mention in there that you're a fan of the show and this is an app that you develop. And then 2 weeks from now, we're going to do an arena based on your apps. We'll pick three of them and review them and see what you guys think of that. That is it for this week. We got to make room for
Mac Break Weekly.
There we go. So... Great show. Ron, why don't you go ahead and plug away?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Everybody, you can, if you're interested in what I do, head over to about.me/RonXO. You can find my links to Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all that fun stuff there. And you can catch me every day over at ifanboy.com, which is a website dedicated to comic books, and of our parent company, graphically.com, which makes great Android apps for reading comics on your Android device. So check that out.
Awesome, Eileen.
You can find me on Twitter at EileenTV or just check me out on about.me/EileenRose or gplus.to/EileenRose.
Wow, she got it this time. That's great. You're turning a tide. It's your New Year's resolution.
It is.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Jason Howell or on Google+ as well. Just search for Jason Howell. And that is it for this week. Thank you for joining us this week. Send us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA, and let us know any questions that you have about Android. Or you can send us an email or a video mail through email. Just send us the link to AAA@twit.tv. Find the show on Twitter. We're at Android Show. You can find all of our show notes for past episodes, including this one, at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday. That's our normal time, Monday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week for another episode of All About Android.
Vote for me. Vote for me.
Android in the morning.